To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And again, we will remind you throughout the month of April that this is WFSK's annual Spring Fund Drive. Now through April 30th, please make your tax-deductible birthday bucks donation of $46 during this month. That's only a $1 per year for each of our years of public radio service to Nashville, or you can give at whatever level that you are able. Our goal this year is 500 donors, and we got a long way to go to give $46. And you have several options. You can give online at WFSKFM.org, or you can call us during regular business hours at 615-329-8754, or you can mail it to 1017th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208, or you can drop by, like some folks have, and drop their donations, tax-deductible donations, off here at WFSK. And I want to take 45 seconds to ask you, Fifi, since I know you've been a part of WFSK family, can you not tell that people have been giving when you look at the station?
Oh, my goodness. What a transformation. Okay. I come here every day and say, I'm grateful for all the upgrades. Every week it seems like something new is added, and we appreciate that. Even this desk, the difference.
This is especially custom-made furniture.
Oh, my goodness. I look at this sound rooms, yeah. And I'm looking at all these things and upgraded equipment.
Yes.
I'm like, ooh, I need new training.
Yeah. Well, that is as a result of the years of fundraising.
Yes. Yes.
So when the people give, you know, we're able to really make this station beautiful as a reflection of Nashville instead of being a dump. And Nashville is becoming, you know, very cosmopolitan.
Yes.
So, you know, the station can't be a dump. We're not a dumping grounds.
No.
Because we're on an HBCU campus. You know, my vision is state of the art, and we ain't playing. And that's that. So that's been the goal for some years now. But you know from whence we've come. And you can say, thank God for the donors.
Thank God. And no, for the 16 years we've been at this station, mm-hmm. We are grateful. We're extremely grateful to you, to X-Men, and to everybody who donate. Our show is practically 2 hours for free. I couldn't imagine how much that would have cost us.
It's not going to happen
anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, and I know a lot of audience, they don't understand the Creole language, but they'll make some requests. They'll call me and say, girl, I don't know what you were talking about.
But it sure sounded interesting.
So,
yeah,
we appreciate that.
Yeah, I know, because I'll be like, what did they say?
One day she was going off on Donald Trump. But the only thing I could understand was Donald Trump. But I knew. I said, man, I wish I could understand.
Yeah, I'll be pulling that one word.
She was preaching.
But they do some translation inside the show, but you all bless the heart and soul of that population.
Thank you.
That's one of the service arms of
yes,
WFSK.
Yes, yes.
Because we can't do that for every lotty-dotty and everybody.
Yeah.
They deliver a service to that particular culture that needs to be fed. And
that's the only service our community is getting.
For free.
Yeah, I mean, the only free service, the only service, period.
Right.
They relied on us for the information.
Yeah.
They don't get it any other
way. No, they're not.
No.
I mean, you know, so to me, that's worthy of, you know, this station does its own brand of ministry. We're not licensed religious.
Mm-hmm.
We're licensed educational.
Yes.
That's an educational service.
Amen.
Happens for your community.
Mm-hmm.
You bring resources and information. I remember when there was the earthquake,
yes.
And that was rocked everybody's world.
Yeah.
And the station opened up the resources and the floodgates and everything that you all needed to address that that need. And we treated your show and your family as if it was our very own, because that's what we're supposed to do, y'all. And we can't, to me, be good shepherds in the community if we're not doing that and setting the example. So I appreciate your testimony, because it's true. What you're saying is true. The average person, they don't care. Just play my song for me, would you? They don't get that part either. But we're able to play it. That's what counts. play the song. But, you know, I'm glad we're able to bless, WFSK is able to bless.
Thank you.
The Haitian community of Nashville and the cross-cultural community. Now, this is the 401 Show's Women at the Cross program. We have in the studio Lady Shaquintia. Did I do it?
Yes.
Will you do it? Yes, yes. I will. Yes, occasionally I will too, Lord, if you just help me now. Lady Shaquintia Johnson of Impacting Life Ministries. Hey, did you see her cheesing when I got her name right?
I just missed it. Okay.
Lady Phoebe Lavique of First Haitian Baptist Church. And Reverend Nikita Cummings, co-pastor of Joshua House Ministries. And we're happy to have the ladies in the studio with us this morning. Our discussion is on Jesus' ministry and how women supported faithfully from the beginning through death, resurrection, and, of course, today. Now, I told the ladies that I wanted them to come back on this segment and begin discussing the women that were in Jesus' ministry and maybe some of the roles they played as we lead up to the cross. And I'm going to start with you, Lady Johnson. Of the women who were part of Jesus' ministry, which one do you resonate with the most?
I'm going to say Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
I resonate with her most because the her life was not perfect. She had issues. She had different names that were called prostitute thing. They never had any showings of that, but just her life. It said, I guess it was Luke 2 and 8. It said, Mary Magdalene, out of a woman, she had demons and things like that. So she resonated to me because she had issues, but she still hung in there. She still professed her faith and things like that. And she was a woman that, like some people from the beginning, they've been holy the whole entire time.
Yeah.
But she let her walk. Her walk was what resonated to me.
And her closeness to the
Lord. Yes, very close.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had the privilege of interviewing the author twice of a book called Mary Magdalene, who was on a research project. She went to her home there in Magdala, and they unearthed a lot of things about Mary Magdalene that would have probably surprised you, because they found out she had a little bit of money. She wasn't this as portrayed. The research did not indicate that she was a prostitute.
Right.
It just indicated that she knew how to make money, and it didn't specify that.
Right. That was the thing that people thought, making money.
Right. That was
she's a woman.
That was man's interpretation.
Right, exactly.
But that book, if you ever get a chance to read it, it is so fascinating, because it talks about, you know, her home and the geological dig that they were on, and found all these various things connected to her. And it also describes the culture, and it describes the city where she was.
Right.
So it gives you a whole different perspective on her. And things that I was hearing about with the author that was on this archaeological dig, I hadn't even thought about in her role. And, you know, because in Jesus' ministry, somebody had to have a few dollars,
right,
to help, you know, him. Right. You know, somebody had to eat.
Right.
You know, there was things that had to take place, and the sisters, they, you know, took care of him. That sounds familiar like today now, don't it?
Yes.
Who's giving at giving time? It's the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And those preachers that raise offering today, they going to know, Reverend Cummings, is it the sisters?
Right. It is the sisters.
And who do you resonate with, Reverend Cummings?
I wanted to say real quickly that just doing research that these women were not poor.
Uh-huh.
They had financial means that were following Jesus because they were what we've talked about already. They were supporting his ministry,
right,
financially.
Mm-hmm.
Just what you were saying about Mary Magdalene, the town that she came from wasn't a poor town. So, right. So she wasn't, you know, she was financially stable,
yeah,
and able to support him, not only just going with him as he was traveling, but just
she wasn't rich, but she wasn't what, right, people have been,
exactly,
describing her as.
The mother of Zebedee's sons, I can't really pronounce her name. I think it's Salome.
Salome.
Okay, Salome. Thank,
yeah,
you. Thank you. I need to write that down.
That's because I've done this show about 12 years in a row.
I believe it's Matthew 20,
uh-huh,
beginning at verse 20, where it talks about her asking Jesus if her sons can sit at his right hand. And he was just basically telling her that that's not up to him. But what they can do is give up themselves and serve.
Uh-huh.
And that resonates with me because she was like, okay, they can do that. They can serve. Mm-hmm. And that's, as Christians, when you have children, that's what you want them to do.
Right.
You know, you're talking about your children, you know, them making the sacrifice, but you don't use the word sacrifice because,
right,
you don't want them, you know. But that's what you want them to know that. You want,
yeah,
to instill that in that. That instead of going to play a game or going to hang out with your friends, let's pass out some food to the homeless.
Yeah.
Or let's, you know, go to the women's mission. Or let's do something,
mm-hmm,
that's, you know, we're God's representative in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically, that's what he basically told her. Allow your sons to be, they can serve.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what he's, you know, that's what we should take from that.
And well, she wasn't selfish, for sure, if she thought about her sons,
right,
like
she
that.
Thought, not her, right. She thought of her son. You know, that's what we as parents,
mm-hmm,
should do. We should want our children to be an asset and not a liability.
Amen.
To
Amen.
Not only the community they live in, but the world.
Yeah.
And that's what, to me, that's what she represented,
yeah,
in that scripture.
Amen. That's beautiful. I like that a lot. What about you, Lady 15?
I got to go with the mother of Jesus.
Okay. Tell me why.
Well, she gave the utmost gift.
Yeah.
And I can see, so I can almost feel her pain.
Yes.
And
yes,
her joy at the same time.
Yes.
She's given us the Savior of the world.
Yeah.
And now he's suffering, and she's right there,
yes,
watching,
yes,
her child.
Yes.
Now, I think the hardest thing for any mother is to watch your kids suffer, watch your kids,
yes,
die.
Oh, yes.
And it's a hard place to be.
Yes.
And when we look at all this, and her heart, she's not God. Jesus knew she was going to raise, and she's gonna come back again,
yes,
and he's gonna be in heaven. He's gonna go to the Father.
Mm.
She did not know all that. In fact, the people around Jesus were the least to really understand,
yeah,
a lot about him.
Right.
When Mary Magdalene come with the alabaster box and pouring the oil,
yeah,
everybody was thinking, "Well, what else could we have done,
right,
with all these?" But yet, Jesus said, she's preparing me,
yes,
for my death.
Yeah.
So even Jesus' mother didn't understand a lot of this thing.
Right.
Nobody understood him.
Yeah.
But she watched as her son grow, becoming a man, becoming that king,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, triumphant entry.
Yes.
And then just a few days later,
right,
to watch him,
mm-hmm,
die.
Mm-hmm.
for my sin.
Mm-hmm. Right, for a bunch of people she never will know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that sacrifice is tremendous. And to stay there the whole time and to watch that had to be gut-wrenching, you know. It had to be. Mm-hmm. As a mother, to the mothers out there or grandmothers and that are people that have had children or even, you know, haven't had them but raised them, that sacrifice is tremendous to watch the kid, your child, go in such a way. You all have named three very powerful women in the ministry of Jesus. And there were women throughout his time on earth and in his ministry. I'm wondering, and since you said that about Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, I'm curious about things like, I wonder if any of these ladies were friends with her, you know, not just her sister, Elizabeth, but the mm-hmm. other ones, if they actually knew her and what her thoughts were, you know, as a woman, you know. Now, you don't be getting all close to my, I mean, you know how a mother would think, you know. You are not the one, okay? Yes. I mean, I'm certain as a human being. There's some of that had to, you know, you know, I know.
Or maybe as a result of what was going on, could it has been what bring them closer.
Right.
I mean, with four ladies sitting at the table, mm-hmm. for many of us, we're meeting for the first time, but we're here for one purpose.
Yes. Right.
Now, could it be that the purpose had drawn the closeness of these ladies and maybe be more of a supportive system for Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Right. Could have been. I mean, they could have been tight.
Could have been.
That's, you know, that's hard to say. You know, that's the kind of stuff I always wonder about. You know, I do love the majesty and the my heart gets full thinking about the sacrifice, but I like the little details of things, the human nature portion of it.
I'm pretty sure they were tight.
You think so?
Yeah, because women were, you know, in a way, to this day, you go over to Israel, the second-class citizens. So the fact that they had that in common would have given them a much stronger bond, because there would be no one else,
right,
including some of the other disciples,
right,
that they could have confided in.
Right.
So aside from Jesus, whom they were following, who in a indirect way sort of called them, there is no other persons in that society that they would have been able to connect with.
Right. Well, and I feel like since those two or three that were there at the cross that didn't leave, that stayed, there had to be a bond there, you know. And I know the bond was the love of God, but I mean amongst themselves, because they had to be able to, they withstood a lot, you know, seeing that, watching it happen, and then, you know, being there when with his body and seeing him die before your eyes. I mean, that had to be emotional for all of them to experience. And
I dare say it gave them cover.
What do you mean cover?
Because you wouldn't have thought, like I just said, that they would have been there as disciples, but yet they were.
Yeah.
So the men ran. Because it was expected.
What else is new?
That's my point. So it would have been expected. Remember what happened to Peter?
That's why this show is called Women at the Cross, okay?
So you see what Peter did, right?
Yes.
You see what Peter did?
Yes.
But so it was the women who stayed. So they weren't necessarily perceived as a threat.
Well, I think that they were probably perceived. The ladies became strong. They became so strong that they symbolized strength to him in the very end as he took his last breath. Mm-hmm. And that might have been what he needed in order to give it up, you know, to just say, you know, it is done.
New revelation from the Holy Spirit. And they bore witness.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Because you know a sister will straight up tell it.
Well, so the other men who were there, if they were there, they were there in hiding and watching.
Well, they fled, so they weren't there. They were afraid. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the women stood strong. And maybe that's why the Lord was pleased in his own way to have them as part of his ministry, because he knew in his infinite wisdom who was going to be there until the bitter end. Okay, the ladies, we're going to be there. We're going to support you till the bitter end. And, you know, to this day, you know, if you just look at the churches, it's proof that the sisters is there till the bitter end. And, you know, anybody who goes to anybody's church is three-quarter female. And, you know, y'all might as well tell the truth sometime. You know it's not three-quarter male in there. It's three-quarter female. And who's doing all the work?
Amen.
The women at the cross. And that is what we discussed today, this beautiful Palm Sunday in Nashville. You're listening to What's the 411. This is the Palm Sunday edition. And I will reintroduce the guests and tell you where their churches are, that houses of worship that you can attend when we come back from the break. And we're also going to talk about some of the other women that were in the ministry and the various roles they did to support Jesus. And that support is so important for many of us in the struggle out here to be Christ-like and to be representatives of the Most High. And let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. The month of April is not only Jazz Appreciation Month, but also WFSK's Birthday Month and Spring Fun Drive. Show some appreciation for Jazzy 88 this month by making a tax-deductible donation to support Nashville's jazz station WFSK. Donate birthday bucks of at least $46. That's a dollar per year for every year of service to Nashville. Give online right now at WFSKFM.org and click on the word donate. Call us at 615-329-8754 or drop by in person. Your birthday bucks donation helps us keep the jazz music playing at WFSK. Our goal is 500 people to make birthday bucks donations of only $46. Remember, go online to WFSKFM.org, call us at 615-329-8754 or drop by our offices during regular business hours. Thank you in advance for supporting Jazz and Jazzy 88. Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome.
On the next Jazz Night in America, what does it mean to retire from jazz?
I would have liked it if I had examples and role models in the jazz world. The hard part was not deciding, but deciding when.
Gary Burton opens up, and we've got music from his final concert in the States. I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center, presenting Boney James' Honestly Tour Spring 2019 on Wednesday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. Saxophonist Boney James returns for another night of smooth and sultry jazz, showcasing music from his latest album, Honestly, along with the selections from his 25-year career, influenced by funk, classic soul, and contemporary jazz. James is a magnetic performer with a sound that crosses genres and generations. Boney James at the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center, Wednesday evening, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets and details, visit Ticketmaster.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I do hope that you all are having a blessed and highly favored morning as you're listening to the Palm Sunday edition of What's the 411. If you have a question or comment, want to be in our discussion today, we're always grateful to hear from our listening audience at 615-329-8810. Let me reset the table with our guest this morning, Reverend Nikita Cummings of Joshua House, a co-pastor of Joshua House Ministries. Lady Shatiqua, Shatisha.
Shaquintia. See, I had it last time. Keisha, I'll get you to re-rack the way I did it right. Just insert that.
Shaquintia, why do I want to call you something else? Oh, never mind. Lady Johnson is here. She grinned last time.
Just call her Lady J.
Yeah.
Lady J.
And well, that means I'll never forget you. Never.
I like that. I like that.
Impacting Life Ministries and Lady Fifi Lavique. And it took me 2 hours to get your last name straight when your husband was here. First Haitian Baptist Church, because I called it everything, but because it looks one way when you look at it just as it's spelled,
yeah.
But then it's pronounced entirely different. Anyway, the point is that in my humanness, I am going to from time to time mess up somebody's name, but the Lord knows my heart, and He ain't worried about it a bit. Topic this morning is women at the cross, and the ladies gave prior to the break the three women that they resonated with and why from Jesus' ministry. Now let's go back, ladies, and discuss, pull in some of the other women and the roles that they played in the ministry. And this time I want to start with you, Lady Fifi. Where do you who do you draw from?
We were talking about Joanna,
mm-hmm.
and her role. She was at the cross with Mary Magdalene, with the other Marys. And this lady, what's interesting about her is the fact that her husband,
mm-hmm.
is the manager at Hayward household, meaning that the same Hayward who chopped John's head.
King Herod. Mm-hmm.
So to have her.
Right, which is the opposite.
Yes, exactly. To have her at the cross.
Yes.
She was not just at the cross. She was also one of the ladies, along with Magdalene, that supported Jesus' ministry.
Financially.
Wow. It says these ladies supporting him with their own means.
Uh-huh.
That means she didn't take money from her husband.
Right. Amen.
To do this.
Yeah.
And ladies out there, and I'm sure a lot of ladies out there who's listening go, okay, we need to find our own means to support the radio station as well.
Amen.
Because, hey.
Go on, weave it in there.
This
too.
is this is a ministry that's happening right here around Nashville.
That's true.
And you care about the Lord, you care about what's going on,
right,
then you support it.
Well, we're able to openly speak on a subject like this.
Yes.
And, you know, we're able to openly speak on a lot of things here without, you know, some of the restraints. Oh, yeah, yes. Yes, and I have stories. But some of the restraints that you would have in other places. And so we feel very blessed to be able to have discussions such as this one. And do you see a pattern with the women? Do any of you all see a pattern with, you know, Jesus with his infinite wisdom, but they specifically served various things along the way in his ministry? What do you see, Reverend Cummings?
I was thinking about just in general, these are Proverbs 31 women.
Yeah.
Because they all were entrepreneurs. That's what you have to presume,
yeah,
right? Because they were able to follow him, but they still had money. Mm-hmm. So that means that whatever their business was still making an income,
right,
that they could use for the ministry.
Right.
So, and like you said, it doesn't say that they got the money from their husbands.
Right.
This was their money.
Right.
So these were, they were, you know, dyeing the cloth or whatever they were doing.
Yes, the oil, yes.
To make that money. But these were women of means. And this...
And it didn't have to be so wealthy.
And it didn't have to be so wealthy.
But just something, you know.
Right. Because I think oftentimes for us women, and then for those of us, you know, for women who are in ministry,
yeah,
you know, when my mother was coming up, you know, the women that were already in ministry telling her, you know, you don't wear earrings, you don't wear makeup,
mm-hmm,
you know, this is how you have to look.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't my mom, because her seamstress, who still makes clothes for myself and my daughters, made her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she made from head to toe, you know, the hat, the outfit, you know,
okay,
she wore the earrings, she wore her makeup, she,
yeah,
curled, you know, she did,
yeah,
all that. And so that was different for, you know, possibly for other women ministers. But these, so my point to that is that, you know, these were not common women. They were not, even though they weren't very wealthy,
mm-hmm,
they still had, you know, they still had some type of means.
Yeah.
So that is amazing to me. And the point is I'm trying to make is that that lets us as women know that we can be entrepreneurs.
Yes.
We can be, quote-unquote, self-made with the help of, you know,
yeah,
with
Father.
Jesus the Father,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah,
and then use the skills that we have for the building of the kingdom.
Amen.
Because that's what they did.
Amen.
So you,
amen,
don't have to, you know, be lowly. You know,
right,
and just, you know, you can be who you are,
right,
and come up and say, because like you said, you know, they were at the cross and they could stay there. There was strength in numbers,
right,
and they could stay there because they were women while,
right,
the men ran, because they didn't expect them to be disciples of Christ,
right,
but they were.
Well, Jesus knew who was going to be there and who was going to support him. He knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that he knew, Lady Johnson, that is why I think he, in his ministry, treated women, you know, talked to them respectfully and addressed them,
mm-hmm,
which, you know, that was not acceptable back in those times. Women were, you know, second in line or third or fourth in line. You can see that happening in some of the countries over in the East now. But he did not treat them like that. He really respected women very much. Do you get that? When you study about the ministry of Jesus, even though it wasn't a long period of time, but do you gather how he did example what it's like to include women in your ministry or to let them lead?
I do get that. In all the things that he went through, I was just reading that even so, the same of the women that were at the cross were also with him when he was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody to go through different things in life, you have to treat people a certain way for them,
mm-hmm,
to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
If you got arrested and you've been nasty to somebody, they're not going to show up to,
mm-hmm,
bail you out,
mm-hmm,
per se, and,
mm-hmm,
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be there for you at the cross to oil your feet and things like that. They're not going to be there for you if they're not respecting what you're doing,
yeah,
and who you are.
Yes.
Especially if you're not that type of person,
yes,
to somebody.
Yeah.
So it was just ironic that the same women, when he was arrested,
mm-hmm,
were some of the same women that were still at the cross.
They,
yes,
were strong, I can,
yes,
tell you
very
that right
strong
now.
Women. Mm-hmm. Very strong women. So it just said These women were also present during his greatest trials. And it, most of the things that he went through, right. They were there.
They were there.
So they were pretty much, I'm going to say they were pretty much there from the beginning, more than likely. Yeah. And if not, they were there at the very beginning of the stages of things that he was going through. And it says when he got arrested, the 12 disciples fled. The men, of course, were gone again. And then the women were there when he was still, when he was arrested. Right. So I just think that the respect that he had for women.
Yes.
Because no matter what he was going through, the women were always there, no matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, no matter how hard it got.
Yeah.
They were there.
Well, that says a lot to me about, even to this day, why women fill up these churches and are faithful.
Mm-hmm.
As a former boss of mine used to say, you cannot come between Jesus and a black woman.
Don't try.
And I was like, okay, I got that. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that symbolizes what you were just saying, is that strength and that believing that this person and what they're doing till the bitter end.
Yes.
Because they did not know until it happened. Mm-hmm. They, you know, may have discussed the possibilities of things, but they did not know until they witnessed it. And also some things for us to discuss in Jesus' ministry was the women. They spoke freely with Jesus, had conversations with him in John chapter 8, and also in Luke. In that gospel, you will find that Jesus had, you know, regular, and even though these women, some of them aren't named, and most women weren't, and, you know, we know that biblically everything wasn't fair and equal. You know, but Jesus also had a relationship with the woman with the blood disorder.
Yes.
And that probably most people wouldn't come near her. And the woman that he called, that called him from the crowd in Luke and chapter 11. And Jesus also addressed a woman bent over for 18 years in Luke chapter 13, and a group of women on route to the cross in Luke chapter 22. So there was a lot of times when he would almost make an example. Don't you kind of feel that a little bit, Lady Vivi?
I see where we're naming these women.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, was this Samaritan woman at the cross?
Yes. Well, he wasn't embarrassed or ashamed or any of that, which is so, you know, ironic that the church would be or had been.
Mm-hmm.
Today's, maybe a couple decades ago, would have been not wanting them there.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus didn't have no problem with it.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you look at all the relationship he built with these ladies, and I think it was Ladies Johnson that says the attitude that he had, it wasn't bad that he did to chase them away.
Right.
And we're looking at this leadership attitude with love and respect.
Yes.
And the strength that, how that attitude strengthened these ladies.
Yes.
And now they become loyal to Christ.
Yes.
To the end.
Yes.
And even after.
Yes. Yes. So, sisters, take hold and, you know that God is with you and he's supporting you. And hopefully today some of you all will fill some of these churches up today. Amen, Reverend Cummings. And when we come back from the break, we're going to continue our discussion. This is the Women at the Cross broadcast. We are happy to have you listening this morning. And let me say hello to the global family listening at WFSKFM.org. We thank you so much. Questions or comments, 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. We're calling all vendors for the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival on Saturday, June 29th. We're accepting applications right now on a first-come, first-served basis for food and non-food vendors with reasonable rates for early birds. The Fisk Food and Music Festival is the place to be in the good old summertime for outstanding music performances in a family-friendly atmosphere on the Grove. Free admission and free parking. Enjoy the Thomas Kane Band, Trumpeter Run, Ryan Montano, all the way from L.A., saxophonist Donald Hayes, and headlining our annual Fisk Festival is number one recording artist Ben Tankard. For more information and details about the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival, visit our website at WFSKFM.org or give us a call at 615-329-8754. The Fisk Food and Music Festival, Saturday, June 29th. Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com. or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome.
Keep listening to Jazzy 88 WFSK for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Kenny G live at the Ryman Saturday, June 22nd, 8 p.m. Your opportunity to win could happen at any moment on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from National Shows 2, presenting Kenny G at the Ryman on Saturday, June 22nd at 8 p.m. In a recording career that spans almost three decades and 23 albums, Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Kenny G has grafted elements of R&B, pop, and Latin to a jazz foundation, solidifying his reputation as the premier artist in contemporary jazz. Kenny G at the Ryman, Saturday, June 22nd at 8 p.m. For tickets and details, visit Ticketmaster.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and it is the Women at the Cross on this lovely start to this Palm Sunday, even though there are chances for rain later on today, but we have beautiful skies right now in the city, and we are looking at our temp today going up to the upper 60s, and that's not so bad for a Palm Sunday, although we have a 50% chance for rain later on today and about a 10% for tonight. So maybe we have some afternoon thunderstorms, and then it'll pass on by us. But the And during the time when the rain, the temp is going to take a little dip, maybe about 10 degrees less, but the winds are going to be gusty today. So keep that in mind. The winds could gust up to about 30 miles per hour, and rain is going to be less than a tenth of an inch. And if there's a thunderstorm, of course, it could get much more than that. Currently, we have some sunshine in the city and 68 degrees in Nashville. We've exceeded already the expected high for today on this lovely Palm Sunday. Let's go to the phones and see what's on the minds of our audience. The number is 615-329-8810. Good morning, Vanita. How are you?
I'm great. How are you all?
We're excellent. What's on your mind today? Happy Palm Sunday to you.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Excuse me. I just had a comment. Excuse me. I just wanted to say I thoroughly enjoyed the show, especially my baby, Lady Shaquintia Johnson. I just wanted to say I'm very proud of you and pray that you keep doing the Lord's work.
Amen.
Mother. And you all have a very blessed Palm Sunday. I was still up. I didn't want to miss it. I worked graveyard shift, and I stayed up because I would not miss this for anything.
Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome. You all have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Wait, Vanita, before you hang up, is there a particular woman at the cross that you feel like you resonate with? Because you raised such a dynamic daughter.
I can't think right now. I'm tired. But okay. if it was one, it would be one that I would think that always wanted the best for her children. And I just, you know, wanted to raise godly girls. I have three daughters, and Shaquintia is the oldest of the three.
Amen.
And I wanted them to all to be saved young ladies and always put God first and do his will, and also to raise their children to do the same.
Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Mom.
You're welcome. Okay. You all have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Shaquintia, that was Mom.
It was Mom.
And when Mama happy, everybody happy.
Yes, yes.
And say good morning to her and the family.
Good morning, everybody. I love y'all.
Oh. And that is the First Lady of Impacting Life Ministries. And where is the church located at? Give it to us again.
Okay. Impacting Life Ministries is located at 2200 Clarksville Pike. That's right here in Nashville.
What's it near?
2200. That's where it turns into DB Tide, kind of towards the curve.
Oh.
So at the lower part of Clarksville Highway, close to the town.
Okay. That's not far from here, then.
Not far at all. I can take you right on to the church.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So if one Sunday I just decided to dip over there.
Swing right over there. Hit the curve just a little bit. Not too fast.
Okay. I know right where that is.
Yes, ma'am.
That's close by, not far from Ed's Fish, huh?
Not far. Okay. Just on up a little bit more.
See, that's a landmark. Those are my landmarks, where the soul food is in the city.
Yes, ma'am.
And Reverend Judy Cummings is co-pastor of Joshua House Ministries. And you all are meet where?
Nikita Cummings. But you said Judy.
Did I? Judy. And I know one, too. Good morning, Pastor Cummings. Girl, I was gone. I was in another realm. Okay. Help me, Lord.
We normally meet at East Park Community Center, 700 Willing Street in East Nashville. We won't be meeting there today. We're going to do online on our Joshua House Ministries Nashville page on Facebook.
Okay, excellent. And where will the First Haitian Baptist Church meet, First Lady?
We are at 5272 Murfreesboro Road in Laverne. It's right across from the new post office.
It has changed so much there that I just recently, I was like, where am I?
Yeah.
That whole intersection, and there was a drugstore on the corner. Is it past there?
Well, yeah. There's two drugstores, one closed.
Uh-huh.
White Aid is closed, but CVS is still there.
Okay.
And then you have Sonics, and then you keep going down right before the next light.
It has changed so much. I thought I was somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, where am I? And all the subdivisions that are out there.
Oh, they're building those boxes.
Yeah. 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 And hopefully some of those people will find your church. you know.
My husband envisioned this whole nation church.
Okay.
That we working on building. It really is an ongoing challenge. Yeah. It's a lot of mercy because we've had all kinds of people at our church.
I bet.
I mean, X-Men was there one time.
Oh, bless Jesus.
Yes, he came and gave the word.
All righty then.
So powerful. So the Reverend. His wife. Yes. We've had all kinds of people at our congregation.
Well, all righty.
And the service is such a very mixed blend of English and y'all.
Amen. So, you know, we hope the people will, when we have the pastors' roundtables and the special shows like this one, we hope people will, that are new to Nashville or don't have a church home or whatever, will, you know, enjoy what they're hearing and go by and visit some of the various locations that the community of faith gathers in Nashville and in Middle Tennessee, because there are so many of them out there that the need is great. You know, people need it, and then they say, I don't know where to go. All you got to do is listen over here. We tell you where to go. Now, let's get back to the subject at hand. And this lovely day today is Palm Sunday. And so far, the ladies have mentioned, I think, four of the women, the Mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and somebody else. Who was it? I can't think. No, maybe we just mentioned three. Let's talk about some of the other. Lady Fifi, in your chapter 8, I think it was Luke chapter 8, when you talked about Joanna, there was another woman that was also part of the Jesus ministry. What's her name?
Susanna.
Okay. So there's four already, and there are others. And Reverend Cummings, tell us this morning a little bit about who Lydia was.
So Lydia is mentioned in Acts 16, it begins in verse 14 and 15, but in verse 13, Paul and his companions are traveling, and on the Sabbath, they go to the city gate, they sit down and begin to talk to some women, and Lydia is one of the women that they talk to. And she's a dealer in purple cloth. So, again, she's an entrepreneur.
Yes.
So that means that she was, you know, she's got her own finance that she's working with. And so it's in Acts. So this is after the death of Jesus. But, again, the ministry is still going.
Yeah.
We're still going out. We're winning souls.
Yes.
And that's what they did with Lydia. They sat down. They were talking with the women. And it says that she was a worshiper of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So she was already believing in God.
Right.
She just had not received the message of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But because of them traveling and sitting and speaking with them, she opened her heart, or the Lord opened her heart, and she received what Paul had to say. And because of that, she and the members of her household were baptized. She invited them into her home to come stay with them. So it's still that women are very impactful in not only the church, but in their families. As we were talking, I was thinking about Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yes.
That Eve got Adam to eat that apple. So we know that we have power. That we can convince people to do some stuff. And if we could use that power that we have to convince our families, our communities to, you know, try Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and that's what she did. She was converted herself, but she was not selfish. She didn't just take Jesus on for herself.
Yes.
The freedom, as you mentioned earlier, Fifi, the freedom that you get from it. She just didn't have it for herself. She wanted her family to experience that too.
Amen.
So she made sure they got baptized so they could all be together in it.
So. Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Now, what about you, Lady Johnson? There are several others, and a lot of these women weren't named, but when we can find them in Scripture, there's several that we haven't mentioned yet.
Well, another one that I saw was Mary, the wife of
Clopas.
They had her at the cross as well. I just seen that she was at the cross. I'm not sure about what role she played before that, but she was at the cross with them as well. And actually, a lot of them, Mary of this, Mary of that.
Right. Anybody. There was a lot of them. That was a common name. Just like John
Marys,
was.
A lot of Marys at the cross.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess in a way, it's sort of unfortunate that we don't know more about, you know, and
a lot of women.
Yeah, I mean, because the, you know, I know they didn't keep records and things and translations like we do today, but certainly, you know, they're just from seeing their various roles. They may not have a name, but it was certainly of great significance, and. These women, they carried important roles in supporting of Jesus. And if Jesus didn't think our roles were important, it certainly wouldn't have been part of the divine plan
right.
that, you know, God has for his son. It wouldn't have been part of it. He would have just been there by himself and nobody to tell the story, but that's not the way the Lord wanted the story to go. So as these folks, and this is also I want to make this statement to make sure men don't think that this is we're leaving you out, because we're not. We are just putting the highlighter on the support level that took place, and not to take away, but at the bitter end, the people who were there to the bitter end. And as we get ready to close up, let's talk about the last week leading up to the resurrection, this last week, and the triumphant entry, and then from there. So if Lady Fifi, if you want to give us some quick thoughts you have on this Holy Week.
Well, it's amazing how, you know, it was that moment, mm-hmm. at that time, from the 3 years or all his life Jesus has been ministered to, that he was perceived mm-hmm. to be the king.
Yes.
And people honor him, and they respected him. They bow down to him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And at that moment, mm-hmm. you can feel almost the atmosphere in that city or that village, how it's transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Only a few days later, for everyone to just forget about, you know, what they had just done.
Yes.
And then now he's going to be crucified.
Yeah.
And he's going to die.
Right.
And then he's going to raise again.
And the people said, crucify him.
Crucify.
They went from I love you to crucify him.
Does that tell anything about our love relationship with people today?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much there.
Yes.
In that short span of time.
Yeah.
And that sounds almost like politics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, what about you, Lady Johnson? Sequinta. Did I tell it up? No, go on, Lady Johnson.
Yes,
see, your mama's listening.
Yes, ma'am.
Sequintia.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Those last few days and that week approaching, it's just one of those things where you just like, it's something that you didn't know was coming, but it comes, and when it comes, it hits you like a storm.
Amen.
But it's like the end result. He rose from the dead, and that's all that matters. So then you think about the cross, you think about the lashing, you think about the nails in his hands, but at the end of the day, he did that all for us, and I don't think he would ever want us to dwell on those actions that he did, but just to know that we got up for everything. He got up for everything that we're going through, everything that we've been through, and everything that we see in the future. So I think that's the most important thing, and I dwell on the fact that he got up for me, for you, for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Amen. And Reverend Cummings.
That we cannot be scared of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't be scared to worship him openly, to believe in him openly, because as you were talking about at the beginning of the week, they were like, oh, it's Jesus, you know, hallelujah, hosanna, hosanna, and then at the end of the week, they were saying, crucify
him.
What happened to those people at the beginning of the week?
Yes.
Were they still there? And the women at the cross signified that they were still there, but something happened to scare them, and we as Christians cannot be afraid to worship God openly. Right. If we have to be able to, there's strength in numbers, and we have to believe there's more of us than there is of them.
Amen.
But there is more of us than there is of them because of God in heaven, because he has angels that are coming, they're going
going to and fro to assist us. And we have to use that thing that he's already given us. And that's what we have to consider this week, that we have to draw strength from what Jesus did.
We
can be that voice, that we can be the ones to stop to tell people, no, we're not going to crucify him.
Yes.
He's done a great work, and we're going to continue to say Hosanna and worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Amen. Now, I do hope and trust and believe that the listeners today got a blessing from hearing from my dynamic guest this morning, as we have discussed women at the cross. And next Sunday on the broadcast, we'll have our Resurrection Sunday broadcast, where he arose. This week of significance, so much the Lord sacrificed so much for all of us. And in your heart and in your soul and in your mind, how about you making a sacrifice if you can? Be kind to somebody. Open a door for them. If they're hungry, how about a can of soup or some crackers or something? Help somebody besides helping yourself. You all have the, oh, and be grateful. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.